too many things in life that you can be sure of, are there? And I'm dead sure this will be one of the last 50 sermons I'll ever preach. By the way, parents, you need not dismiss remind your children. It won't be necessary based on this message. The Bible lists 189 women specifically by name. There are 150 additional references to women where a multiple number are referred to, but no names. A conservative estimate of how many women are mentioned in the Bible has been around 2,000 of them. Women are referred to as single women, as wives, as mothers, as daughters, as sisters and widows and grandmothers, mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. The term mother is used approximately 300 times in the Bible, with 26 of them describing things about that particular woman. Various quotations are mentioned about women in the Bible. They are specifically spoken of as a homemaker, a prophetess, a queen, a princess, a nurse, a farmer, a bridesmaid, a dancer, a seamstress, a fortune teller, an innkeeper, a singer, a shepherdess, a tent maker, a weaver, and probably a few others that I missed. Women are spoken of both negatively and positively in the Bible. Negative references to women speak of them as being evil, foolish, silly, seductive, and immoral. But there are more positive things said about women because they are called wise and holy and virtuous, faithful and devout, ambitious and honorable. There have been four women in my life who have had significant influence over me over my years on earth. My mother, my sister, my wife, and my daughter. I've had one of each. I only have one of all of those left at the present time. Wait a minute. On second thought, I have had a number of other women who have had a lot of influence on me. Well, not girlfriends now, I don't mean. These are women I've only read about. And they're women whose story is told in the Bible. May I tell you about a few of them in the minutes that I have left? Most of them were probably mothers, and I'll have time to just discuss a few of them. Mary of Bethany influenced me to listen and to learn from Jesus in Luke 10, 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to those where a woman named Martha opened her home to them. She had a sister Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is the better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Jesus commends this woman, Mary of because he was sitting there at his feet listening. And he understood that listening to Jesus was the better part, Jesus told him. I don't know how it could be said any better than Lois Carpenter said it in this poem about those two sisters. Martha in the kitchen, serving with her hands, occupied for Jesus with her parching hands, loving him yet humbled, burdened to the brim. Careful, troubled Martha, occupied for him. Mary on the footstool, eyes upon her Lord, occupied with Jesus, drinking in his word. This one thing is needful, all else strangely dim, loving, resting Mary, occupied with him. So may we, like Mary, choose the better part, resting in his presence, hands and feet and heart, drinking in his wisdom, strengthened with his grace, waiting for his coming, eyes upon his face. When he comes, we're ready, spirit, will, and nerve, Mary's heart to worship, Martha's hands to serve. This delightful order, as our lamps we tend, occupied with Jesus, then occupied for him. So, Mary was an influence. She listened to Jesus, and she learned from him, and Jesus commanded her for it. The second lady is Lydia, and we read about that lady in Acts, the 16th chapter, and it's verses 13 to 15. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a Judah in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the message of Paul. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded her. Lydia, Thyatira, a businesswoman. She was a dealer in this beautiful purple cloth that was purchased for royal robes and for special occasions. She turned out to be the first convert to Christ on the continent of Europe, as recorded there in the book of Acts. She sought to worship God. She wasn't a Christian yet, but she was doing her best. She knew there was a God. She prayed and she thought about God as best she could. We call those apostolates. The Bible says whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. But she didn't even know about Jesus, who he was, if there was such a person. When she decided to do something about it, she was hearing from the preaching of Paul. It describes her as the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. We need open hearts. She was a woman who had something about her that enabled her to respond to the message of truth when she heard it. And she responded right away, because right then and there, she decided to obey the gospel message as the Bible speaks of it. And so she was baptized immediately there in verse 15. She had been a seeker after God, and now she found him in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. It says in Galatians 3:27, for all of you who are baptized baptized into Christ and clothed yourselves with Christ. And she has clothed herself with Christ. Rather significant word to use when here she was a seller of purple cloth from which they made clothing. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And she influenced the whole family, the whole household, probably servants as well as growing children. The first reaction to her newfound faith was to show evidence of it. There's usually something in the Bible that describes what people did after they were baptized. It's significant that this woman said, come to my house and stay a while. So she showed hospitality. Remember, the jail keeper said, have something to eat, Paul. And so when you're converted to Christ, you find it in your heart to reach out and show evidence of it, of love and of concern and of care for other people. So her first effort was, come and stay at my house to show hospitality. Well, Jesus, remember, said that those who inherited the kingdom would be the ones who would say, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. So that's what Lydia did to the Apostle Paul there in Matthew 25. Let's look at the third lady that had an influence on my life, and it was Mary, mother of John Mark. That's in Acts 12 and verse 5. This is the occasion when the Apostle Peter was put in jail for his preaching. And it said that Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So I wonder where that congregation went for that prayer meeting. Well, down in verse 11, it reads, then Peter, after this, Peter was released from prison, he came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping to would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, of John Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So that's where the prayer meeting was for Peter. And that explains how God worked on his behalf to free him from that imprisonment. And I was impressed to hear a lady open her home to a prayer meeting, and others gathered with her, and together they effected the release of the Apostle Peter. And we safely assume that Mary also had prayed for her son Mark. I'm sure she did. She might have even prayed that he would be a teacher. Well, he did turn out to be a missionary. We're told that he traveled with the Apostle Paul and then later with Barnabas. And he even went so far as to write the book of Mark in our Bible. Mary's son, Mark, turned out to be a fine young man. And undoubtedly, the prayers of a godly mother was responsible to Mary's death. Oh, how it must have thrilled Mary when she learned that Paul had called him a fellow worker there in Philemon 24. And when she learned that he had said that Mark was helpful to his ministry. He mentioned that in 2 Timothy 4:11. I want to thank you, Mary, God works, and He works through prayer. And we can be thankful to God for that. Mary also had opened her home for prayer meeting, as we saw. And undoubtedly, those prayers had a great part in releasing the Apostle Peter. Let's look at the fourth woman who had an influence on Mary. And that is a poor widow. This is in Mark chapter 12, and in verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put in and watched the crowd paying their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins with only a few cents. Calling his disciples in, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." Jesus observed this woman giving approximately a couple nickels into her treasury. And he commended her for it. And he said that she gave more than all the others. Well, if you do the math, she only gave a couple nickels. And how could that be more than what the rest of them put in? The reason is this. She put in an amount that wasn't so much how much she put in, but it was because of how much of a sacrifice it was. There's the key to whether our giving is significant. If it's a lot of money, that may not be much. If it is more than we even have to live on, in many instances, giving that amount can be considered a very significant gift in the eyes of God. Today, people consider the amount of giving in dollars, not in the degree of difficulty it was to give. And that's, again, what God looks at. You hear people today gauge the level of giving unless they give till it hurts. Well, the Bible gauges giving as what you give after it starts hurting. Then is when the real giving is significant in God's sight. That's how Jesus looks at giving. This unknown widow taught me about that. I read about John Henry Jowett, an early 20th century British preacher, once told about a woman who spent her entire life in sacrificial service to her community. He said that the wording carved on her tombstone read, "She did what she couldn't." We think of this woman and others doing what she did. And that's commendable. Do what you can. But how did you ever do what you couldn't? Well, that woman did, because it was all she had to live on. I don't know what she did for groceries that week. It doesn't tell us. But I'm certain that it wasn't an easy task to accomplish. Let's go to the next woman who made an impact on me, and that is Dorcas. Dorcas is in Acts chapter 9, and verse 36. And read about what it has to say about this woman. Acts 9, begin in verse 36 to 39. Peter, out that there was a disciple named Tabitha, and he used the name of Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Now, Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in there, they sent two men to him and said, "Please come at once." Now, Peter went with him, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robe and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Dorcas, that word means gazelle. How many know what a gazelle is? Have you seen or heard of one? Well, it's a small North African antelope. They say it's about 2 feet tall. And it's noted for its large, soft eyes and its graceful movement. And it's one of the fastest animals. They have gauged that gazelle as it loped along and would leap and then run. They gauged it as fast as 60 miles an hour on occasion. Dorcas must have been a fast river in order to have a name like that. Something we call a fast woman today, I guess you'd say. The story is told of a very wealthy man who died at a relatively young age. His friends were discussing his passing. One commented, "I wonder how much he left behind." And another fellow spoke up and said, "He left it all." And that's what you and I will leave. We talk about we're going to leave things for someone. Well, how much shall I give this person? Well, we're leaving everything we've ever had. Dorcas left behind evidence of a life dedicated to serving the needs of others. And they showed those garments. And they talked about it and said, "She made this, and she gave so many of those to people who were in need." It says that she abounded with deeds of kindness and charity. And it also says that she did this continually. It shows that it was a habit of her life to do that. At the memorial service, evidence of her love for God and for people was quite clear. You know, people often have displayed at their funeral objects that reflect the kind of life they lived or what was important to them while they were alive. Down in Frankstown, there's a small cemetery. That's where the remains of my wife Bethel are buried. And I go there frequently to pray and to meditate near her gravesite. I walk around the cemetery, and one of them has around the gravesite whiskey bottles all around it. Well, that fellow might have been a drinker and must have said something to somebody about wanting to have that idea expressed to the world. I held a funeral for a man one time who had requested that all around the casket would be photographs of Elvis Presley. Well, he was fond of that singer and probably was an enthusiastic fan of rock music, and so Elvis Presley was what he wanted to be conveyed to the people around him. Well, this poor widow, we don't know for sure if she was a widow by that time. She probably was. But what objects would you leave behind to tell people what was important to you? What would be the objects that represented the focus of your lifestyle and of your interest in life? What occupies your time? What you spent your money on? We could name a lot of things that people have that do that. Well, there's one more for me, and that is in Matthew 15 and verse 28. Let's turn there and notice that. Starting in the 21st verse, Matthew 15, 21 and 28. Leaving this place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering cruelly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him, "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said, "even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request be granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. This woman was from a pagan background. Phoenicia was not one of the countries where the Jewish people were following God's law. She apparently well had heard about Jesus, had heard about him healing people. And with her daughter as terribly demon-possessed, she was ready to go wherever she could to get help for that problem. So she came to Jesus, crying out, "Have mercy on me." She called him Lord. So she recognized that much about who Jesus was. Now, normally, non-Jews were not recipients of God's blessings and God's special care in the New Testament. We read that. There was a non-Jewish centurion who served as healed because the centurion had such great faith. He was not a Jew. He was not one of God's chosen. But he had such great faith that Jesus said to him, "I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." In Matthew 8, verse 10. And so he received the blessing from God. It tells us that Elijah was not sent to any Israelite widow, but to one of the non-Israelites in the city of Zarephath in Sidon. And it was during a famine, and there he was poor. It describes the help that Elisha gave to her. And then Elisha, remember Naaman, the man who suffered from leprosy? He was a Syrian and not a Jew. And yet God worked for him the cleansing of his leprous disease. So God is sovereign and can and does make exceptions to some of the teachings that he gave to his people concerning those who would be acceptable in his sight. So this Mary was a woman of great faith, and this Gentile woman had a similar faith here. And it was her faith that impressed me. Now, there were reasons why that woman could not have had faith in the Lord Jesus. At least four things. When she asked him about helping her daughter, Jesus didn't even answer her. that could discourage the person, couldn't it? And the second thing is, Jesus' disciples told him, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. Well, that would discourage the poor lady. And then Jesus told her specifically that he was originally sent only to Jews and not to Gentiles. Jesus gave her a lot of reasons why she might not have placed faith in him. And the last one was, he used an analogy in attempting to show her that Jews were more deserving than Gentiles of the blessings of God. But she answered it back and said, yes, but we're about to come. God settled for them. A bit the sum of blessing were that she was willing to receive from the Master's hand. She was convinced that Jesus should, and would heal her demon-possessed daughter. And she began debating with him and used the leverage that she was willing to settle for a blessing, even if it meant only some. And what did Jesus say? He said, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done as you wish. I probably would have given up trying to convince Jesus to help me. Then I would have been hearing him say, O ye of little faith, not what a great faith you have. Yes, I want to thank Mary and Bethany for listening and learning from Jesus. That gives me an example that I need to listen to Jesus and his word and his teaching. And I want to thank Lydia from Thyatira, because when that woman heard what the truth was, she was willing to obey it right then and there. And she was blessed for it throughout eternity. I want to thank Mary, the mother of Mark, because of her prayer life. I can see where it helped Peter get out of jail, and it led to her son becoming a missionary and writing part of the New Testament for her mother to do that. And then the poor widow showed me what giving was. I still can't figure out what she did for groceries that week, because she gave all that she had. It doesn't explain that in the Bible, but somehow she survived, and God blessed her for the giving. Dorcas, the fast lady, Giselle, was known for serving others, and where they could show what she did from her efforts to help. And then the Gentile woman, a pagan, had relentless faith, didn't give up, kept appealing to Jesus for help, for the care of that disease and bringing to their father. These women influenced me in what I believe, in what I, how I should act, and what I should do in life. And I thank God that there are those who can make such an impression on us. Do you have people that are influencing you? Do you have those whose lives are demonstrating for you the power of God at work in their life? And then turn it around this way. Are you influencing others? Are there traits in your life that they can see and that they can be impressed by, and they can be motivated to imitate? Well, that ought to be what happens in our lives. May we all benefit by those who live godly and who show us what it's like to be a Christian. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for each one who has been a blessing to us. And I thank you for the role of women in my life, both in my family and in your word as I pray about them. I just pray you, Father, for the effects that other people's lives, lived in harmony with your will, can do to help me and to help all of us to live more like Christ. Bless us, God, and help us to take home from these lessons the importance of following the example of godly people. In Jesus' name.